Well, let's open our Bible to page 1068. Something very, very good today, encouragement. I thought that would be a timely subject for today, Election Day. Encouragement. We may need a lot of encouragement before this day is over, but be that as it may, the fact is we all need encouragement, and the fact is we need to encourage. We're going to talk about that. Now, last Tuesday, John did a really good job on some reasons people should go to church. If I remember, he had five. And so what I want to do today, I want to kind of pick up and build on, kind of go beyond and just go to the next stanza of that, because, it's an interesting thing. What happens when Christian people start drifting away from the church? Now, he talked about the advantages of going to church, why we should go. Well, the other side of that coin is, and you know it to be true, maybe for some of you, that has been your lot. Maybe now you're back, I hope, in the church. But people, you know, sometimes for whatever reason, or for no reason, really, well, there is a reason, but we'll leave that for another sermon. They just kind of start drifting away from the church. Now, I read something the other day that I thought was very helpful to me at that point. Let me read it to you. It said, when a person drifts away from the family of God, now that'd be the church. You know, the church is the people of God. Now, listen to this statement. When a person drifts away from the family of God, it is only a matter of time until they will drift away from fellowship with God. Now, that's a good statement. I believe that statement. When you see people, and it can happen to you, it could happen to me. When we start drifting away from the family of God, the people of God, the church, it's just a matter of time until we drift away from our fellowship with God, not our relationship. Now, you know, we don't preach doctrine here on Tuesday, but I'm not going to apologize for my doctrine. I believe, and I respect whatever you choose to believe. If you choose to not believe in once saved, always saved, I just hope every night before you go to sleep, you're saved. But I believe the Bible teaches that eternal life is eternal. In other words, you can get out of fellowship with God, but you can't get out of relationship with God. Now, that's just my own conviction, but I respect if you don't have that same conviction. But the fact of the matter is, sometimes I know my relationship is sealed with the Holy Spirit, but we all can get out of fellowship with God. You know, John and I could get out of fellowship, but we can't get out of relationship. I'm his father. He's my son. That's the same deal. God's our Heavenly Father. We're His children. But the truth of the matter is we can and we sometimes do drift away from our fellowship with God. And it's a very, very sad thing. Now, the writer of Hebrews, we're not sure really who wrote Hebrews. It matters not. The Holy Spirit of God inspired all 66 of these books. You know, some say Paul, some say others. But that's neither here nor there. Holy Spirit inspired men to write the Word of God. But the whole deal with the book of Hebrews is very simply this. Whoever the writer was on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit was writing to these Jewish believers. In other words, people that had been raised in Judaism. Think about this. The Jewish people, by religion, as well as race. And they have now become believers in Christ. In other words, the way we would say it, they have left their Jewish faith and they now have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. They're called believers. You and I would call them Christians. But there they are amongst all these Jewish people, and a small number, and the number would grow, but it was a very small number at the beginning, left their Jewish faith and began to be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was not an easy thing to do. And today it's not an easy thing to do. It's a very difficult thing to share Christ. See, the Jewish people do not believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. They're waiting on Him to come. That's what they believe. Well, and they believe their sins are forgiven through various sacrifices and worship experiences and ceremonial washings and offerings. And now they have begun to believe that, no, That's not the way. The way is by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So that's what happened. Well, the pressure kind of gets put on, and you know, there's so many that are in the Jewish faith, their family, their friends, and so there's this temptation to kind of go back to that which they have left. And so with that little background, the writer to the Hebrews writes them to encourage them not to do that, not to do that. And so look with me on page 1068. We're in Hebrews chapter 10. Look down with me, for example, in verse number 23. We'll just do what we have time to do. It says, let us hold fast. He's writing these new believers. He says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. In other words, he's saying to them, look, I want to encourage you to remain faithful. I want to encourage you to remain faithful. Now, that would have been a great word of help to those who were struggling about, you know, their newfound faith. Then in verse 24, he tells them another very interesting thing. He says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. In other words, what he's saying is, I want to encourage you to help one another. That's what believers do. They help one another. And he's saying, look, I know the struggle about your faith change, but this is no time to retreat. This is a time to stick together and hold fast and to help one another. And then we come to this verse 25. This is the most explicit, by that I mean clear, specific, not complicated, not difficult verse in all the New Testament about the necessity of believers going to corporate worship. You know, we can worship God privately, but then there is corporate worship. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, preachers love to preach on the A part of this verse. And I as well. And it is what it is. It says what it says, and it means what it says. But here's what he is saying to these new believers that have left their Jewish belief in faith. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. In other words, he's encouraging the way you and I would say that is, look, you know, you need to keep going to church. Of course, you need to keep going to worship. You need to be around the other believers. You need to remain faithful. Consider one another. Help one another. But the second part of that verse, verse 25b, he explains the importance and the purpose of saying to them, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And here's what it is. He says, let me just read the whole verse, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now this word exhorting, NIV and other translations would translate that word encouraging. You know, we think about exhort, but it depends on the context of. But you know, the parakletos is the word, and the prefix para means come alongside, and the root part of that word means like you speak, you comfort, you encourage. And so what he's saying is, don't forsake the assembling yourselves together, as a matter of some is, but what you do is you should encourage one another. And that's where this whole thing today comes about, encourage. It's a marvelous thing. Now, we need to understand, all of us agree we should encourage people. But this is not like just a suggestion that God is saying, now here's what you're to do. Do not forsake yourselves when assembling together other believers. And the reason being, when you assemble, not only do you hear the word of God, but you also encourage one another. And these new converts, these new believers needed that encouragement. But we all do. Now, as I thought about that, thought about Thanksgiving, I thought, you know, in all of our lives, in your life and in my life, there have just been people who have come along beside us that have encouraged us. And that's a special blessing. It's a very special blessing. And, you know, as I thought about, now it's Thanksgiving month. It's 16 days from now to Thanksgiving Day. And, you know, as I was thinking about what this verse says and thinking about how it relates to my own life, and I just suggest you might consider what I'm doing, is I just decided, I've made the decision a little bit before today, that between the day I made that decision, but let's just say it was today, so we've got 16 days, that each day I'm going to kind of make myself remember and think of a person that has encouraged me, and if that person is still living, either tell them personally or maybe drop them a little note or somehow or another to thank them for how they came alongside of me at a certain time in my life, or maybe a certain season, not just necessarily one time, and just let them know what a blessing they have been. And you know, it doesn't have to be a mushy thing, but I'm telling you, you would just be quite a blessing doing such a thing. I would encourage you to do the same thing. Now, as we think about that, you know, we all like to be encouraged. In fact, I had a little note that came to me in the mail I received it last Saturday. 11 words, little postcard, handwritten, said, "Dr. Redmond," that's not part of the 11 words. It said, "Thank you for your strong and faithful leadership. We appreciate you." And they signed their name. Now, this was not some campaign to tell the preacher we love. Actually, sadly, that's the only note I got all last week. That's it right there. I mean, that's it. Now, they say, you know, for every one person that writes, you 10 others thought about it. So really, I had 11. I just didn't, you know, get the other one. But now, you know, I got that. And I looked at who sent it, one of our senior husband and wife. And they're precious people. I've never done anything in a personal way with this fine folk. They just faithful people. But now, what precipitated that? I don't know. I don't thank you for your strong and faithful leadership. And had a little stamp on it, you know, a forever stamp. Not a lot. It didn't take long to do that, and it didn't cost a lot to do that. But I mean, this thing really blessed me, and I really didn't hang on to it to use today. I have it in the front of my preaching Bible. I just stuck it in there, and sometimes I like to just have little things to kind of go back and re-encourage me. Now, here's an interesting thing as I thought about this whole thing. You know, your life, it's an interesting thing. Back in the book of Proverbs, you need not turn back, but let me just read you the verse. I'll tell you where it is. It's in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 7. You might want to remember that. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 7. It says, "The memory of the righteous is blessed." Now, here's an interesting thing about encouraging people. You know, we like to be encouraged, but we are to encourage people. But think about something with me. You can encourage people with your life that will outlive your life. That's what this verse is talking about. In other words, just the memory of you can be an encouragement. And like in my Bible, this is my kind of main preaching Bible. I'll use sometimes different ones, but by and large, right now, the last few years, I have "The memory of the righteous is blessed." And I have, right above that verse, I have the name Mr. Webb. Now, that's Dottie's father. He's with the Lord. And every time I read that verse, I thought about him. He was such a dear friend, encourager, and blessing. Just his memory. You know, Dottie made the statement. I was telling her about what I was going to do here today a little bit, and she said, "You know, it's interesting you're going to mention that." She said, "The memory of my dad's presence is greater to me than his absence." And I said, "Run that by me again." She said that. She said, "Well, I miss my father, but his memory is more present with me than his absence is." And as I thought about that a little bit, I thought about the numbers of people whose life, they're gone now. But just when I remember them, I'm encouraged. Does that make any sense to you? I was in my study at home this morning pondering this little thought. And I looked over on one of my bookshelves, and I have it's a companion pair of big, wonderful encyclopedias, dictionaries, two dictionaries. And they belonged to a man named Harvey Sands, who was one of the most godly men I ever knew in my first church I ever pastored after seminary. And I used to love to visit with Mr. Sands. He just was a very, very godly man. And some years after he went to be with the Lord, his wife gave me those two dictionaries that was his. He used them every day. He studied. This man, he studied just, you know, it's unbelievable. And every time my eyes hit those things, then I glanced over and saw a little New Testament on my desk at home, a little red, small pocket New Testament that Juanita Hamley gave me when I preached Al Hamley's funeral. And she wrote a little note. Now, like this morning, I looked over just the memory of Al Hamley. How many times I have prayed in little groups with Al Hamley and Juanita. No one ever encouraged me more. Now, they're both of the Lord. The point I make is this. Just the memory of those folks. Sundays a week ago, one of the dearest, one of my dear friends who was a member of my church in Tennessee named Harry Wampler, owns Amhill Meats. If you ever go to Grand Ole Opry, you go out Amhill Parkway. That's the Amhill Meat people. Just one of the finest. All these years have gone by and we've always stayed connected. And in fact, our last conversation, his health had been bad. But I said to Harry again, I said, Harry, I just want you to know what your life is meant to me. He said, preacher, and he said some kind things. Well, he went to be the Lord. But like, he's gone, but I'm still encouraged by his memory. Have I gotten the point across? Now, here's where I'm going with that. You say, well, I hope you're going somewhere with it. Well, I'm warming up for a funeral in a little bit. But here's the deal. I was thinking about that. I mean, endlessly, Dr. Naylor, I could just start going down the line. I mean, like, some of the people, in fact, I would say one-on-one, if I made a list of just people in my life that one-on-one have just down through the years come along at seasons of my life and encouraged me, more of them are now gone than still living. That's the deal. But the memory of them just kind of encourages me, you know. I think of professors that have taught me. They're gone to be with the Lord now. But just when they just come to my mind, it just makes me want to be a better student and be just a better man, a better person. Here's the deal. Let us live our life, you and me. Let's live our life. This would be my prayer, and I hope yours, that we would live our life in such a way, encouraging people along the way as we have opportunity, okay? But when we are gone from this life, just the memory of us would be an encouragement. I tell you what, I don't think we could do anything, make any better investment than that, and to say, I want to encourage people, be there, help them as I can, whatever, but when I'm gone, and maybe somebody mentions my name or something said that makes me remember, and they think of you, that just thinking of you would be an encouragement to them. God, that's exactly how we should live our life. The writer of Hebrews is so right. We are to exhort one another. In fact, God, you inspired the writer back in the third chapter. He says that we are to encourage people every day. God, give us discernment to see opportunities to do that, but even greater than that, God, may we live such a life. Not a perfect life, none of us will do, but may our life be one that blesses people in various different ways as we can, but that when we're even gone, just the memory of each of us would be an encouragement to those that we knew, is my prayer. Now, Lord, before we leave today, we pray for our country. We pray for the election today, God. We are going to choose a new president, but we're going to choose a lot of people today. And we have the Senate, and we have the House, and we have all these other political offices not only nationally, but state. God, I don't know the words to pray, but somehow, God, would you help us in America turn back to you? And God, how that will happen, there's nothing you can't do. And it won't be because of who's the president. It will be, God, when we just humble ourselves, repent of our sins, and people turn back to the living God and follow him. I pray that. I pray for the election. I pray for our nation. And God, I pray that whether Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump becomes the new president, somehow, God, may America come together and work together and make the progress that we as Americans could make. It's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.